How long did it take you to put Primes together, Jim?
The you mean the work or the book?
Both, I guess.
Well, the book has been a number of months in production. A lot of background went into this. It's a shorter book. It's only totally a little under 100 pages. But it was a complicated book. But the problem I've been working on since I was in high school, just kind of playing around with it, here's the situation. Since the ancient Greeks, the prime numbers have presented an enigma to the mathematicians because there never seemed to be any rhyme or reason to them. So in a sense, I had been working on this for probably since I was in high school when I first was introduced to the problem. So the prime numbers are numbers that have only themselves and one as factors. So I worked on this and worked on it, and I had a file. It was called my prime number file, and I would put it on the shelf for a while and come back and work on it, knowing that every great mathematician in history had broken their brain on this same problem, trying to find a rhyme or reason or relationship between the prime numbers. And even up to the most modern research by top mathematicians in the world, the conclusion was that the prime numbers are just random. There's no real rhyme or reason to them. So a number of years ago, I actually made a couple assumptions. And one was that everybody who had ever worked on this, including myself, was marching down the wrong road. There was something underlying the prime numbers that was very simple, very elegant, and very subtle, and everybody had missed it. I made that assumption. And the second assumption was that there was a new mathematical process that we didn't have at our disposal. And so understanding that and assuming that, and just my own view of nature, is that nature wouldn't have these prime numbers that are so important, they're the building blocks of all the numbers, without having some kind of underlying structure to them. So I went on a permanent hiatus from working on this. I put it on the shelf and I said, I'm not going to look at this again until I've literally forgotten everything I know about it. All of the great mathematicians, the Riemann, the Eulers, the Gauss, the Cauchys, all those people worked on it. And I said, you know, and I did studied all of their work. And I said, I'm going to purposely forget about this. And someday when I've totally forgotten everything I know about this, I'm going to try and pick it back up and get a fresh view, because I'm looking for that thing that everybody has missed. So I did that. And one day I was driving down the road, I rarely do.
You road raged.
I turned on the radio, and it was a morning talk show. And they had a guy on named Scott Flansburgh, and I know he's been on
your
show.
Oh, I know Scott. Sure thing. The numbers man.
The numbers guy. And so anyway, I was kind of impressed with the story that he had dropped out of high school. He never could figure out how to...
We call him the human calculator.
The human calculator. So I was kind of intrigued with his story. So I went and got to my desk that morning, and I sat down and started... And all of a sudden it hit me. I said, you know, I've really forgotten everything I knew about prime numbers. So I just kind of dove into the middle of the prime number table. And I have tables that are huge. They go up to very large numbers. And all of a sudden it just like broke like a dam of water coming out of a reservoir. And everything made sense. It was clear as a bell, the theoretical basis for it. And then it took me another 6 weeks, and I got some of the key elements. But what I didn't realize at that point was that there were about 6 or 7 very subtle pieces of the puzzle, all of them leading to false dead ends, basically.
But, you know, you wrote this so people who are not mathematicians could understand this a little
right.
bit. But tell me, though, the significance of prime numbers for people. I mean, in their everyday life, why would they want to know about this?
Well, there's some very subtle implications, and when we were talking about genetics, the nature has repeatable processes, and that was the tool I was looking for that I was talking about, was what I call the repetition function, and it's the method that I was using to work on complex differential equations in celestial mechanics. And I applied that to this prime number problem, but repetition and these generator functions work in our daily lives, genetics. But to answer your question more specifically, prime numbers are used as the keys to encryption code on every secure internet transaction, on banking transaction, in encryption for telecommunications. And there again, that's something I've worked in half of my career is in the telecommunications industry. For 10 years, I was a principal engineer in a company that built IBM-compatible software and hardware devices. We built networks. We started from the ground up, the chips, the internal processing, the memories, the buses, everything, and we built these computers up with teams of tremendous engineers and eventually built worldwide networks for some of the largest corporations in the world. And at any rate, encryption was a very essential part of all of this. So anyway, that's something I have a pretty good background in understanding encryption.